Om Agyan Timurandasya Ginan Gana Shalakaya Chaksumilitam Jena Tasmaya Sigurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadanti Sva Padantikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktivrindam Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama. It's a great pleasure for me to be here. It may sound a little strange that we take pleasure in hearing ourselves glorified, but that's not what I mean by the pleasure of being here. It's the pleasure of, well, first of all, being in the association of my godbrothers and my godsisters who have so kindly encouraged me. As Vaisheshika Prabhu and Nirkula were speaking, I was thinking, yeah, that's the person I'd like to be. So it kind of puts the bar up and gives me something to aspire for. And to be in the association of the wonderful devotees, the congregation here, it's a fact I do travel the world for the last 4 decades. But I can say with all honesty that this is one of the best, top 10, top 5, top 3, top 2 centers that very best in the world. It's easy to see the success. It's grown. You know, I've been coming around a little bit through the years, and it just keeps growing, expanding as Prabhupada wanted, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted, and as Srila Prabhupada wanted, and his followers want the Sankirtan movement to expand. Prabhupada said that one time. Krishna consciousness is blissful when it's expanding. I heard him say that in Rome. Krishna consciousness is blissful when it's expanding. And why is it expanding here? Because under direction of your illustrious leader, Vaisheshika Prabhu, and his better half, good wife, they have the right formula. And what is that formula? Krishna Varnam Tusha. Krishna Vanam Tusha Krishnam Shango Panga Shabharshadam Yagnai Sankirtan Prayarishantihi Shumera Shaha. That they are continuing the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as it begun 500 years ago through the simple process of chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. And in particular, Srila Bhakti Sananda Saraswati Thakur's and R. Srila Prabhupada's formula of Brihat Mridanga, expanding the glories of the Holy Name through book distribution. From following that simple instruction, everything else comes, as we see here. So many devotees, so many new devotees, a beautiful center, relatively new center, gorgeous deity worship, delicious prasadam, and inspiring the entire world. I can tell you frankly, I travel and I often speak with my godbrothers and godsisters and devotees and disciples, and you know, with the new age technology, you can pretty much see anything and everything that you want to see or you don't want to see. But if you want to see good inspiration, good lectures, you just tune into Vaisheshika Prabhu's live view classes, and you'll be amazed. I listened to him practically every day, and I keep telling the devotees, I said, this Prabhu is Atmaram. He's self-realized and he's completely satisfied. So you simply have to look at him, big, tall, handsome devotee, and. Uh, And because of such diligent devotional service for so many years in cooperation with his good wife and his loving godbrothers and godsisters, such an elegant speaker, Saraswati has blessed his tongue. I'm just amazed. I mean, I heard Vaish speaking years before. When I tune in now, it's like, wow, he's really getting the mercy. So elegant, so poetic. And of course, because he's drilled, like, you know, and with military precision for so many years, Prabhupada's books, he knows them backwards and forwards. He followed Prabhupada's command. You should know these books like a lawyer knows his law books. That's Vaisheshika, isn't it? And whatever he says, he backs it up with a verse from the Shastra. This is another one of Prabhupada's instructions, or rather his observation, that when you're speaking in learned circles, and we're not talking about Western ideology or philosophy or politics, we're talking about real knowledge, divyagan, transcendental knowledge. When you're speaking in truly learned circles, you must back up your statement, your point, whatever it is, with Shastric evidence. And I think of all my godbrothers in the movement, he's the best with the shlokas. He's really a shlokawala. And somehow or other, he always connects it to Sankirtan. He always gets back, you know, like we always say, back to the basics. Back to the basics. He always... And this reminds me very much of Tamal Krishna Goswami. He boasted to me one time, and he had the right to boast. He was a great preacher. He said, Maharaj, I can turn any shloka into a Sankirtan class. And why not? Because ultimately, this is the Yuga Dharma. Chanting Hare Krishna is the means by which we become self-realized, and the culmination of that self-realization, the Param Gatim, is Krishna consciousness, and it's all connected to the Yuga Dharma, chanting the holy names. So, generally, sannyasis, they travel to give inspiration. I always come here to get inspiration. And these are, for me, very precious moments. I was with my godbrother, Giriraj Swami, a few days ago, and I turned to Maharaj. I said, Maharaj, you know, we're in the autumn of our life now. These are the closing chapters of our life. And I so much cherish your association. For me, these, you know, in the old days, just kind of take it for granted, you know, we're rowdy boys out there doing Sankirtan. But now, every moment is like gold. Every moment is precious. We take advantage of it to become Krishna conscious. We don't waste any time. So when you're in the association of God brothers like Giriraj Swami and Vaisheshika Prabhu and Maharaj and all the God brothers here, then it's very precious, and I just kind of just relish it. I'm just, you know, relishing every moment that I'm here in the association of Vaisheshika Prabhu, his good wife, and the managers and the devotees, and what's actually manifested from your heart. Because I also like Sankirtan. I often lament. I distributed books for 14 years. Almost every day, even I get chastised for going out on Janmashtami. And, you know, they asked me to become a temple president. That's your miracle, Vaish, you can do it. Oversee the management, you know. And then, you know, I took sannyas, and then I became a guru. But I often think if somehow the whole world just fell apart and we weren't able, you know, our movement wasn't able to function in the practical ways it was doing now, I couldn't do the services I'm doing now, I would very happily go back to France. Somehow I'd make it back to Paris. And New Mayapur, I have disciples there, and Sringananda and my god sister, Vishesha. And in just a little room off to the kitchen there where they have the dryer and the washers, hanging my book bag. It's a really cool book bag. It's got mirrors on it, you know. It's and red, white, and blue, and yellow. Big bag like that. And And that's my book bag's hanging. I said, keep it there. I said, maybe someday I'll have the good fortune to come back and take that book bag and do full-time book distribution. So if we can't do it because of other responsibilities, and you could say Brihat Mridanga to encourage others to do book distribution, or because we're getting older and, you know, we may not have the physical ability to spend, you know, 10 or 12 hours a day out there. It gives such satisfaction to the heart to see a center like this, a temple like this, where this is the heartbeat. This is the heartbeat of this temple here. And this is meant to be the heartbeat of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, where there's this preaching spirit and sharing with others. I was looking around the room and I was thinking, there's so many devotees, the deities, that everything's perfect here. And I said, that's because the heartbeat is Sri Krishna Sankirtan. And that heartbeat is an echo of Vaisheshika Prabhu's heart. So. Really, this Vyasa Puja is just an excuse to come here and get his association. And it started out, we weren't really planning. I mean, Rasika Sramani, she said, you know, Gurudev, when you come, can we have a Father's Day celebration? I said, what's a Father's Day celebration? So we'll go out and buy you a pen and give you a flower and, you know, cook you a breakfast. I said, okay, Father's Day. And it's only in America they have Father's Day, by the way. I said, okay, then next week she called me, she said, well, a few more devotees want to come, so can they come to the Father's Day? I said, okay, and then next week, then she said, well, you know, the words got out amongst your disciples, we want to have a Vyasa Puja. And by that time I was too far in to get out of it, so. And I thought, yeah, let's do it, because that means I can, you know, be with Vaish and the devotees and different God brothers and God sisters will be there, and it's just, it's so nice, this is really just about loving exchanges, really. That's why I like Vyasa Puja, because for me it just boils down to the disciples showing their love and affection for their spiritual master, for their training in Krishna consciousness, and it's a way for me to appreciate your advancement in Krishna consciousness when you speak. I mean, all of the offerings today were just amazing, and I'm so proud of you. That you're remaining strict to your vows and chanting and serving the association of devotees, and therefore, Tatikshava Kunika Shuridam Sharvadehinam Ajata Shutta Vashanta Shadava Shutta Bhushanaha, all these good qualities are manifesting. And it's evident when you speak. Prabhupada said one time, you can tell the advancement of a Vaishnava when they speak. So the shy little ladies, little kids are sitting down and such amazing realizations are coming forth. It gives me so much faith in the process. In fact, sometimes I'll just admit it, that I'm a little embarrassed. I asked Tamal Krishna Goswami one time, I said, Goswami Maharaj, what, you know, they're going to ask me, you know, people are coming forth for initiation. I said, what is one of the difficulties in becoming a spiritual master? You can train me, you know, start to train me. He said, I'll be honest with you. He said, sometimes the difficulty is when you see disciples who are more advanced than you. But it's true. To see the realizations you have, it's very humbling for me. It makes me want to become a better spiritual master to guide you. So I ask Śrīla Prabhupāda for that. Blessing, this is my service to my spiritual master, that I can do my service better to inspire all of you. So, I'd actually like to read a letter by Śrīla Prabhupāda and quote on it briefly, or speak on it briefly today. I'm looking for a subject matter, because this is not my first Vyasa Puja this year. I think it's number 11 or something. You're only supposed to have one according to the GPC, so we call these guru-disciple meetings. But this is a very wonderful letter in which Srila Prabhupada expressed his humility, because it's important when you're being glorified to remember where the mercy is coming from and not forget. This is a letter of Srila Prabhupada to one of my godbrothers, Chandanacharya Das, from March 12, 1970. Prabhupada writes to him, "I thank you very much for your nice letter of appreciation. The kind words that you have used in this connection are very much pleasing, but all the credit goes to my Guru Maharaj. He asked me to take up this job as soon as I met him in 1922. Unfortunately, I was so worthless that I delayed the matter until 1965. But he is so kind that by force, he engaged me in his service. Therefore, he has sent me so many of his nice representatives, the beautiful American boys and girls like you. I am so much obliged to you that you're all helping me in the discharge of my duties towards my spiritual master. Although I was so much reluctant to execute it, after all, we are the eternal servants of Krishna, and by the divine will of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, we are now somehow combined together. Although originally we were all born in different parts of the world, unknown to each other, this is the way of Krishna's transaction. So let us, with great enthusiasm, preach this cult all over the world and make everyone happy. They are missing the central point, Krishna, and our duty is to remind them. Then everything will be all right. So follow the path chalked out by all our predecessors, and success for all of you is assured." I wrote this down and meditated on this for over an hour this morning, just to prepare myself for this occasion when, you know, I received so much sweet words and admiration and glorification, so that I would remember, as I always do try to remember, to whom the actual credit goes for whatever little humble service I've done in this movement. All the credit goes to Srila Prabhupada. He is Prabhupada, the master at whose feet all the masters sit. We have a saying in English, as you know, give credit where credit is due. And this quotation is most poignant in the Krishna conscious movement, where the disciple, if he or she is successful in some endeavor, is very quick to give the credit to Guru and Gauranga. There's no hesitation. Very quick to give the credit. I remember one time we were sitting with Prabhupada in Paris, and a devotee disciple looked at Prabhupada and said, "Prabhupada, you're the greatest Vaishnava." And Prabhupada, like, blushed. You could see the color of his face change, and he looked down, and he's so humble, and he looked up, he said, "I am just trying to become a Vaishnava." He said, "A Vaishnava is a very glorious thing." I was looking, yes, that's your glory, Srila Prabhupada, that you're so great, but you're so humble. That's the dynamic combination for a devotee of the Lord. He was always very quick to give credit where credit was due, in our service. And this is a service I'm doing for Prabhupada, too. Help all of my disciples advance, connect them to the Guru Parampara, train them, inspire them in Krishna consciousness. But always very quick to give the credit where credit is due. One time, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati had a debate. It was an organized debate, actually. There was some tension in the community. Who's greater, the Brahmanas or the Vaishnavas? Society was very... So the social order was very strict at that time, and the Brahmanas had the lead, so to speak. They were very much appreciated by the people, and sometimes it went to their heads. So. And then the Vaishnavas came along, and Vaishnavas were preaching and helping people. And so this idea came up. Who's greater, the Vaishnavas or the Brahmanas? So the Brahmanas chose their personalities to speak at the debate. And the Vaishnavas elected Muktisadana Saraswati to speak. So the Brahmanas spoke first. And they quoted so many verses about Brahminical culture and about how elevated Brahmanas are and how they're the most intellectual and like this. And all the Brahmanas applauded. It was a big audience. Not only Brahmanas were there, but the general people were there. And that was such an elegant talk that everyone applauded. It was very nice. And then Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati came to defend or to explain the position of the Vaishnavas. So he began by glorifying the Brahmanas. Namo Brahmanya Devaya, Go Brahmanya Hitaya Cha, Jagaditaya Krishnaya, Govindaya Namo Namaha. The two things are very dear to the Absolute Truth, to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One is Brahmins, and one is cows. And all the Brahmins, yes, very good talk you're giving. But then he began to speak about the superiority of Krishna consciousness, because as we know, Brahmanas, with all due respect, and we are also practicing Brahmanas, because Brahmana means the mode of goodness, and the mode of goodness is a stepping stone towards transcendence. You can't understand the Absolute Truth if you're in the mode of ignorance. You can't understand the Absolute Truth if you're in the mode of passion, but you have a chance. Krishna says the mode of goodness in Kirti, said it's illuminating. It's a stepping stone. But a Vaishnava is, it's sattva, right? We have tamas, rajas, and sattva. But our acharyas describe the life of a devotee as sudha sattva, transcendental goodness. By dint of devotional service to the Lord, we transcend this world altogether. So he was speaking like this, sudha sattva. And he was quoting so many verses and back and forth and like this, and he described the superiority of becoming a Vaishnava, who's naturally a Brahmin anyway. To make a long story short, because his lecture was 4 hours, like Radhana Swami. Maybe that's where Radhana Swami got it, I don't know. The whole audience stood up and applauded. And the Brahmanas included. They were convinced by dint of his very erudite knowledge and his wisdom and his divyagan, his realization. Everyone was applauding. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was sitting there with his head bowed down in very in extreme humility. He wasn't accepting all that glorification. So at one point he looked up and he went like this. Meaning that the room was packed full of the room, maybe 600 or 700 people. He went like this, meaning leave a space in the middle. So they parted like this, and there was a clear avenue all the way to the entrance of the hall where everyone's shoes were, the chappals, the sandals were all piled up there. He went like this, and he paid his obeisances in that direction. And everyone looked, and who was sitting there? His Guru Maharaj. Gokeshwar Das Babaji Maharaj. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati paid his obeisances. He said, "Who am I? I am nothing. I'm simply the mercy of my Guru Maharaj." Gokeshwar Das Babaji Maharaj. And Gokeshwar Das Babaji, when he was glorified, he ran away. So I asked my disciples to, in acknowledging anything that I've done in this movement, to give credit to Srila Prabhupada. The other day I was cleaning out an apartment that I stay in Warsaw, and I came across an album, a photo album that my sister sent to me some years ago. I didn't have time to look at it. It was mostly pictures of me in high school. Oh boy. I was looking at that, you know, that athlete and that surfer and that long-haired guy, and I was thinking, how did he ever become a devotee? But it's the mercy of the spiritual master. There's a song, it's not a spiritual song, but sometimes we can engage sayings or quotations. Prabhupada used to do it on occasion. There was a song by a somewhat famous songwriter. His name was Rodriguez, and he wrote a song, which I often remember. He wrote, "But oh, if you could see the change you've made in me, that the angels in the skies were envious and surprised that anyone as nice as you would chance with me. Isn't that beautiful? But oh, if you could see the change you've made in me, that the angels in the skies were envious and surprised that anyone as nice as you would chance with me. Srila Prabhupada, he said one time, just as Lord Ramachandra conquered Ravana with monkeys and bears, so I am conquering the world with my Western disciples. And it wasn't just one miracle that Prabhupada accomplished by changing a high school boy into a aspiring devotee of the Lord, but an entire generation. This was his miracle. You know, in India especially, people are fascinated by the miracles that sadhus, they actually can perform. They can perform. They have mystic cities. One time Prabhupada was challenged, Swamiji, you know, Sly Baba, notice the change in words here, Sly Baba, he can make the dust, right, come from his hand, the magic dust, when he can break this silver chain, come, what can you do? So Prabhupada was sitting with his disciples, and he waved his hand, indicating his disciples. He said, that these American boys and girls have become devotees, this is my miracle. Yata kashta natam yati kamsham rasa vidanataha tata diksha vidanena dvijatam jayate ninam. A very, very nice verse by Srila Sanatana Goswami. As bell metal is turned into gold when mixed with mercury in a chemical process, so one who is properly trained and initiated by a bona fide spiritual immediately becomes a brahmana, a Vaishnava. This is miraculous. There is a process. You can take ordinary bell metal, like we would say like cartels are like bell metal. There's a process you can turn that into pure gold. I know this process. And if you even have a notepad or you have your iPad here, just take it out and I'll teach you the process. You can use it for, your Sankirtan collection. You can win the marathon. You can get lots of gold and then, buy the books and give them out for free and win. It's very easy. In the ancient days, the mystic yogis, by dint of their mystic powers, they would take half a liter of mercury, liquid mercury, like we have in the thermometer, the liquid, and they would drink it. You're shaking your head. You're a doctor. Any fool knows that if you drink mercury, you die immediately. It's a poison. But they had the ability to drink the mercury and not be affected. This was their siddhi. Yogis can develop siddhis. They can develop subtle material powers. Just like we have a gross body, then we have a subtle body, the mind, intelligence, and the false ego. They are subtle things. So mystic powers are subtle. They contradict, you could say, the laws of gross material nature. If you read Radhanath Swami's book, The Journey Home, you remember that when he went to the Himalayas, at one point he saw five yogis levitating off the ground. I said, Maharaj, did you take a poetic license there? He said, no, they were floating. You know how he does. A siddhi. So there's a siddhi that you can drink mercury. I wouldn't spend your life developing a siddhi that you can drink mercury. Better chant Hare Krishna and get prema. But they could do without being affected. And that mercury would mix with their urine. And they would pass urine in the morning, and they would pass urine onto the bell metal. Gold. This is miraculous, but it's true. No less miraculous is that the hippies became hippies. Yes? If you read Shyamasundara Prabhu's book, his first book, Chasing the Rhinoceros with the Swami, how many of you have read? It's a must read. Yes, if you ever want to know what was it like to take LSD, just read the first 100 pages. He's a good writer, and he was there. He was in the thick of it all. And Yeah, he writes very nicely. So there he's describing the scene, the situation in, you know, the late 1960s, and you're wondering, you know, how did these people ever become devotees by Srila Prabhupada's grace? His power, his compassion, his mercy, and the process that he brought. It's actually miraculous. So drinking mercury and producing gold, but even more miraculous is that, you know, Western boys and girls could become. And as Prabhupada changed the hearts of so many conditioned souls in our generation, he continues to do so today. Because it gave an ongoing process. It's so intelligent, Prabhupada. He created a material organization, quote-unquote, meaning he created the infrastructure to help us, the GBC, so that things would work smoothly. One time, well, the time when Prabhupada was leaving his body, he turned to Girirar Swami and he said, "How will this movement go on in my absence?" And other devotees started saying, "Well, we'll follow the four principles, we'll chant Hare Krishna, we'll keep..." And Prabhupada said, "No. This movement will go on by good organization and intelligence." Just a special instruction. Organization and intelligence. So Prabhupada intelligently organized the movement, and he kept preaching the formula. You chant Hare Krishna, and you give the chanting to others. One who preaches has life, according to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. You chant Hare Krishna, and you distribute the chanting. Our whole movement revolves around the chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. It's the be-all and end-all of our existence. We're either chanting the Holy Name, or distributing the glories of the Holy Name by Harinam, by festivals, by book distribution. Our whole life revolves around chanting Hare Krishna. So Prabhupada set up the infrastructure, and he gave us the spiritual process. We're safe and sound in the structure that he established, temples and farms and restaurants and sevas. And then the process, which includes the five angas of chanting Hare Krishna, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, worshipping the deity, living in a holy place and associating with devotees. You can expand it a little bit. But that's our formula. And because he set it in motion, it continues to work. Generally, a person is only powerful during his or her lifetime. Very few people remain influential after their lifetime. This was the dilemma of Pontius Pilate. Pontius Pilate was the person who was judging the so-called crimes of Jesus Christ. And he was like looking at this person. He never saw anyone like that. Because a Vaishnava is very rare to see and find. He's a special personality. He was thinking, this is his mission, and he's preaching like this, and he has his followers. He said to Jesus, "I don't know if you're more dangerous, alive or dead. Because right now you're preaching, but after you leave, you know, you'll be a martyr in the eyes of your disciples. It'll become even more eager to spread your teachings." So in the same way, Prabhupada was a powerful preacher when he walked amongst us, and remains so even today. One time he said, "I will never die." You know this quote better than anyone. "I will never die. I live forever in my books." Right? And he's present in his vani. He was always stressing the vani. The vapu is nice, but the vani is continuous. Vapu may be here, it may not be here, but the instruction is always there. And Bhāṣya Śrīla Prabhu is carrying that essential instruction to distribute books so nicely. So again, everything is flourishing here. So Prabhupada was a powerful preacher when he was here, and he remains so even today. What's one sign of that? That he remains a very powerful preacher today. I often mark that by the fact that all of you love him. You never met him physically, but you serve his instructions, and you serve his movement. And thus you develop a living, dynamic relationship with Prabhupada. So when the little kids are here and they break in after the kirtan, "Jai Prabhupada," you can see on their face. They're not just like parrots, "Jai Prabhupada, Prabhupada." No, they're singing with devotion. with appreciation, with love. So we can conclude that Śrīla Prabhupāda was no ordinary spiritual master. Not to say that any spiritual master is ordinary, but just a choice of words. Like Prabhupāda said one time, he said about his Guru Maharaj, he said, he was no ordinary spiritual master, he saved me. So Prabhupāda saved this high school boy, he saved you, he's saving countless others, and he'll continue to do so. We can make an estimated, an educated guess, for the next 10,000 years. Because that's the time limit this movement has. Kali Yuga is going to become so bad, 428,000 years, that the devotees will be living underground in caves. It's going to get bad. But the glory of this age lasts for 10,000 years, that Prabhupada will be the prominent acharya. There's even discussion in Shastra how the different sampradayas will all combine together in the Gaudiya Vaishnava sampradaya to preach Krishna consciousness. I was visiting at a prominent Ramanuja sannyasi in South India. I went to his ashram. And it's a holy place for the Sri Vaishnavas. And I went there, there weren't very many people there. It was a holiday, and the sannyasi was giving a lecture, and he was so happy to see us. He said, when you ISKCON people come here, you give this place life. He said, that's because your Guru Maharaj is taking the teachings of Krishna all over the world. He said, I'm sitting here alone, chanting on my beads, and you boys and girls are doing the real work. I was thinking, yeah, this is a sign that in the future, maybe all these sampradayas will come together to preach Krishna consciousness. And in that sense, Prabhupada said one time, his books will be the gospel for Kali Yuga, those who are really sincere about understanding spiritual life. So he deserves the title, Prabhupada. And we are servants as masters or disciples. We are all his servants by his grace. Prabhupada means a master at whose feet all the masters sit. It's a very prestigious title. You can't just, you know, decide I want to be called that. You become a self-effulgent acharya, and the Vaishnav community bestow that name upon you. In the earlier days, Prabhupada was called Swamiji. But then, you know, Jamuna and Shamasundar and Malati, they started hearing a little bit about the history, and they said, can we call you Prabhupada? And in humility, Prabhupada said, yes, you can call. His Guru Maharaj was Prabhupada, but he allowed himself to be called. In fact, Prabhupada, the disciples went one day in the early days in 26 Second Avenue, and they said, you know, we know that each spiritual master has a specific mantra beyond Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Bhastaya Bhutale. Can we have a special mantra for you because you're our Swamiji? So Prabhupada said yes, and he went to his room and he wrote down his own prana mantra. Namaste, Saraswati Devi, Gauravani Pracharini, Nirvishesha Shunyavadi. Someone can say this is being puffed up, but that's no problem. He knew that in order for his disciples to accept him as spiritual master and hear his instructions with all sincerity and decide to apply them, they had to see them. They had to see him as the absolute representative of the Lord. So he did like that. One time I remember the opening of the Krishna Balaram Mandir in Vrindavan. It was a big occasion. Prabhupada, we'd worked for years to collect that money and build the Krishna Balaram Mandir. And so as part of the advertising for the opening, Prabhupada's disciples put a big sign on the road. It said, you know, opening of the Krishna Balaram Mandir under the guidance and inspiration of the founder Acharya, his divine grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. They had the Prabhupada in big letters. And Prabhupada, the next morning, he went out on a walk with some of the sannyasis, and he saw that big sign where it said Prabhupada, pointing to his cane. He said, if my godbrothers see this, they'll kill me. But we saw it different, and eventually so many of Prabhupada's godbrothers saw it differently, just like Sridhar Maharaj, who Prabhupada admired and looked up to, you could say. He once said to some of my godbrothers that your Guru Maharaj is Shaktavasya Avatar. Shaktavasya Avatar means a particularly empowered personality who's empowered to spread the Sankirtan movement all over the world. If they were not envious, it was self-evident. And just as a qualified king eventually hands over his kingdom and title to a worthy son, so no doubt Arshita Prabhupada, Srila Bhakti Sananda Saraswati Thakur, blessed Arshita Prabhupada to continue his mission. And in doing so, he became a master whose feet all masters. When Prabhupada was once when he was a grihastra, he was very busy with his pharmaceutical business. He, just after marriage, to maintain his family, he began working for a company called Bosch. And he was very busy traveling on trains around India, so he eventually became a disciple of Srila Bhaktisananda Saraswati. But it wasn't that he was doing service like the sannyasis were doing, going out and opening new centers and, you know, printing books and distributing them and giving lectures and so forth. He would give some donations and he would come to the local mosque and lead kirtan. And you read in the books, some of the books, I think Mula Prakriti, my god sister, produced a book, and she mentioned in her interviews with different personalities how everyone looked forward to Abhay Charan coming to the center and leading the bhajan, leading the kirtan, and giving some lectures. Somehow or other, Srila Bhaktisananda Saraswati Thakur had some affection for our Srila Prabhupada. It's said that a saintly person is Trijnanakala. He can see past, he can see present, and he can see future. So perhaps it was that Srila Bhaktisananda Saraswati could see in his eternal disciple, Abhay Charan, our Srila Prabhupada, what he could do in the future. So he gave our Prabhupada extra time. He showed some affection that he didn't show towards some of the big preachers, sannyasi preachers. He would sometimes reveal his mind to our Srila Prabhupada. Like he did one time, it's historic, they were walking around the Radhakund, just the two of them, the householder, disciple, and the sannyasi guru, and the others, these other disciples, sannyasis, were sitting. They were requested to sit down somewhere, looking, why him? And Srila Bhaktisananda Saraswati revealed his mind. He said, there's so much trouble with this temple that we've established in Calcutta. We've built this big temple. Now they're fighting over the rooms. Who's going to sleep there? Who's going to eat now? So I would rather sell all the marble in that temple and just buy a printing press and distribute books. Then he turned to Prabhupada, if you ever get money, print books. So like this, you may not say that to just any disciple, but you'll say it in confidence too. So the sannyasis, there were other occasions as well. So the big sannyasis, and I'm not meaning to be disrespectful, because I heard Prabhupada say one time, one of his godbrothers, who has a pretty bad reputation for what things he did after Bhaktisananda Saraswati Thakur left, and one of my godbrothers made a comment, and Prabhupada said, you cannot speak like that. I can speak like that because he's godbrother. He said, you should know that godbrother went back to Godhead. So I don't want to commit any offenses, but the sannyasis, top sannyasis, they went to Bhaktisananda Saraswati, and they complained, you're giving so much attention to this Abhay Charan. He's just a householder. He's giving a few donations. And Bhaktisananda Saraswati, he took on his Narasingha mood, right? He was the Nisringa Guru. You see, he wouldn't tolerate any statement that was outside the realm of pure devotional service in his preaching. When he came to town, the Mayavadis, the logicians, the Gyanis, the Yogis, they all split down. They went up to Rishikesh or something and hid in the forest where he did his preaching. So he could become, for Krishna, he could become very angry for Krishna, like a lover becomes angry when his beloved is insulted. That's the sadhu. He can become angry. He became very angry at those sannyasis. He said, don't you speak like that. In the end, this Abhay Charan will do everything. And he did. Guru Maharaj asked him, asked Śrīla Prabhupāda to spread Krishna consciousness in the English-speaking language. And he did that, but then, with the help of his disciples, but it was all his mercy, the French edition of Bhagavad Gita came out, the Spanish edition of Bhagavad Gita came out, the German edition of Bhagavad Gita came out, the Dutch edition came out, and today there's the Zulu, Akulin Kula! They speak like that. When the head of the BBT in Africa, Ajay Dwaita Swami, produced the first book in Zulu, and he's a very, you know, Maharaj's quite stoic, you know, he's very strict. He often reminds me of Bhaktisiddhanta. No nonsense, you know. Straight speaking, what was that term he used? This one of the lectures he gave, seminars. The other one. Yeah, something like that. So he's very... he's undefeatable, Jaya Dwaita Swami. And you can't defeat him. He's like, no nonsense, Swami. When he first published the first book in Zulu language, I forget which, I think it was Perfect Question, Perfect Answers, I saw him presenting it to Prabhupada. Tears were streaming down his eyes. The big, stoic, tough Swami is crying when he presented that first book to Prabhupada. Because Prabhupada was so pleased when any books would come out. So we call this in the military, you get a medal when you do above and beyond the call of duty. Just to be a Marine or a Ranger, it's not an easy thing. But if you can do more than just what you're amazingly you're expected to do, then above and beyond the call of duty, you may get a Silver Star, or you may get whatever. So Prabhupada's instruction he received from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was practically an impossible instruction. Spread Krishna consciousness in the English-speaking language, especially at that time, because the British were in control of India and they intimidated the Indian people. You're inferior, you're not culture, take up Western culture. And, you know. And then Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati preached to them, make them into Hare Krishna devotees. Like, what? Go to London and make the king and queen and, you know, Hare Krishna. So what he did was a miracle. But then above and beyond the call of duty, by his inspiration, there's practically no language in the world now that doesn't have books in that language. And then when Prabhupada had established the movement in the West, actually in 1971, Prabhupada became sick. His heart attack came back. And he decided to go back to India, and he told the devotees, I may not come back, but I've given you everything. So keep preaching the Sankirtan movement can be successful. 1971, we had like 10 or 15 temples, only a couple cantos of the Bhagavatam, there was just, you know, one farm, New Vrindavan and West, and Prabhupada said, this can all go on. He felt like that. But of course he came back and he continued to preach, and then after some years actually Prabhupada, you could say, gave a lot of time and attention to India. He went back to India because India is Bharat. Bharat means, it means different things, but it can be taken to be like the land of light. Not that India is sunny, but the light of transcendental knowledge. And it's meant to be really the lighthouse of transcendental knowledge for the whole world. If the light goes out in India, then there's a problem. If this knowledge disappears. So Prabhupada went back and he told Bhakti Guru Maharaj, I have fulfilled the order of my Guru Maharaj and I have spread the Krishna conscious movement around the world. He said, my personal mission is now to come back to Bengal, Gaudadesh, where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you know, decided to appear. That's where God appeared. He didn't appear in Chennai, because then you wouldn't have any real desserts after the main meal. You just have no sandesh, rasmalai, rakets, burfi. There's just that kind of spaghetti. What do they call it? Anyone invites me for South Indian prasadam? Yes, South Indian prasadam with Bengali sweets. You imagine Mahaprabhu appeared in Gujarat, you'd have to eat the sweets first. So perfect planning. But as you know, due to the teachings of, you know, Ramakrishna and different people and the Durga worship, you know, it all kind of became lost. So Prabhupada had a personal desire to go back and reestablish Harinam Sankirtan and the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the place where all started in Bengal, in Navadvip, in Mayapur. And that's one reason that he wanted so much that big temple to be built. That is actually our world headquarters. So talk about above and beyond the call of duty. He did more than anyone could imagine in preaching in so many languages, then back to the homeland and, you know, reviving Krishna. And now you see, when you go to India, we're so proud of our Indian devotees, ISKCON devotees. You know, everywhere ISKCON is so much appreciated. Gopal Krishna Maharaj, what has done in Delhi and all the temples and Mumbai and Pune and Mayapur and Hyderabad. And it's just, you know, Prabhupada would be so proud of the work those devotees have done and continue to do. So, because Prabhupada showed himself really to be the best disciple, he became the best example of spiritual master. Because he was the best disciple, he was blessed to become the next spiritual master. The best disciple is the one who takes the words of the spiritual master, instructions, to become one with his heart, one with his life. Prabhupada admits in this letter, such humility, he admits that he forestalled the instruction of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati to preach Krishna consciousness in the English speaking language. He didn't really start fulfilling that instruction until many years later, when he decided to, you know, well, actually he was reading a Bhagavad Gita, and the Bhagavad Gita translated by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, and one of the purports of the Thakur, Prabhupada read that one should take the mission of the spiritual master as one's very life and soul. And somehow that just connected with Prabhupada's heart when he read that. Probably by the desire of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Sometimes people ask me, I don't know who to choose as my guru. There's Bhakti Vrinda Govinda Maharaj, and there's Chaitanya Chandra Charan, and there's Niranjan Swami and Vaisheshika, and there's you. And I say, not me. But I say, who's your guru? I said, they're all qualified. But by Krishna's arrangement, one day you'll be sitting and hearing this person, this authorized person speak, and what he says will affect a change in your heart. Oh, now I get it. Right? When the guru speaks for the disciple, oh, now I understand, right, that I should give up materialistic life, I should embrace the lotus of Krishna, I should become enthusiastic in devotional service. You know, like that. So the spiritual master, so Prabhupada was reading this, and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur said something that just struck a chord, and then he really began, now I have to take up the mission. And that's when he began the Back to Godhead magazine. He was still a householder. Received that instruction before he was finished college, before he was married. A long time passed. A long time passed, and then he took it seriously. One time Prabhupada gave an instruction to Giriraj Swami to write a book, a particular book, I forget what the name of it was, particular subject matter. Because Giriraj Swami is very well educated, very erudite, good writer. Prabhupada saw this, and you write this book. Yes? Yes, Srila Prabhupada. And then Giriraj Swami was so busy for so many years, and then he came, you know, he's seeing Prabhupada off and on, and 3 or 4 years later, Prabhupada said, what about that book? And Giriraj Maharaj told me, I became so embarrassed. He said, oh, I'm sorry, Prabhupada, I'm so busy with life, making life members and managing, you know, the temple here. And Prabhupada said, that's okay. He said, I was like that too. He said, you can, what was the words he used? You can neglect, you can delay the order, but you cannot neglect the order. Right? The disciples are remembering. You can delay it, but you can't neglect it. So it took some time, you know, the BTG, and then, but Then he became like Narada Muni. Sometimes Narada Muni is addressed as Bhagavan Narada in the Bhagavatam. There's a couple of places. And we know, we've heard Prabhupada's lectures, there's only one person who gets the name Bhagavan, and that's Bhagavan Sri Krishna, because he possesses the six opulences. Right? So how is it that the Bhagavatam, Srila Vyasadeva, addresses Narada as Bhagavan? Because Prabhupada says in the Krishna book, if you read very carefully, that sometimes the Lord empowers his devotee with his full opulences so he can carry on the mission of the Lord. And sometimes the devotee, he actually does more than the Lord by the Lord's grace. Mahaprabhu spread Krishna consciousness in India, but his servant, Prabhupada, spread it all over the world. So there's an example. So who is Srila Prabhupada? One time a devotee asked him, "Who are you?" Prabhupada replied, "You want to hear the answer?"
Yes.
He told him. His promise, the devotee said, "Who are you, Prabhupada, in the spiritual world?" And Prabhupada replied, "If I told you, you'd faint." And Bhavananda Prabhu, who was acting as Prabhupada's secretary for quite some time, he was traveling with Prabhupada in, I believe it was in Africa. They came back from Africa and came back to India, and Prabhupada had contracted some disease, and therefore he was very flushed, and his color went away, he was very weak, and he came back to his health. And then Bhavananda walked in one morning, said, "Prabhupada, you're looking so healthy." Prabhupada said, "Yes, I've got back my reddish gold color." Bhavananda said, "Yes," and Prabhupada said, "This is my color in the spiritual sky." And then Prabhupada went, Bhavananda wanted to ask the question, "So then who are you?" But we're not supposed to think of our spiritual master. We think of him as our guru, our spiritual preceptor in this world who's delivering us back to Godhead. We don't speculate what is our rasa with Krishna or who is it. But Prabhupada said, "Yeah, this is my color in the spiritual world, reddish gold. But if he told us, we would faint." But because he was the chosen one, right? Gaura-Govinda Maharaj said there's two types of personalities who come from the spiritual sky. Those like Jesus, who come of their own accord, and those who get a personal instruction from the Lord to come. And Prabhupada got that personal instruction, didn't he? Bhavananda also shared that information. He was sitting with Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, "I didn't want to come to this nasty place." They were sitting in some, office somewhere. And Bhavananda said, "I'm so sorry, Prabhupada, we brought you here to this office." "No, I do not want to come to this nasty place, this material world. But Krishna told me, you go down there and you preach Krishna consciousness, I'll arrange everything for you." So two types of souls come. So in one sense, because he was the chosen personality to carry on and recognized by his God's brothers as Shaktavishavatar, really it's no surprise what he did. And he's continuing to do, and he will do for the next 10,000 years. Therefore, Narottam Das Thakur's song, which Vaisheshika Prabhu sang so nicely, with so much devotion. Ebayash Guksha Tri Bhuvana. Therefore, Prabhupada is known throughout the three worlds. The Sankirtan movement is not only going on this earth planet, it's throughout the universe. So great souls, they're aware of Prabhupada's service. The demigods, they travel interplanetary, intergalactic. It's not difficult for them. So the word is spread. In the earlier days, not many people knew about Prabhupada. Now we have internet and, WhatsApp and iPhones, So just as Prabhupada wanted to make Krishna famous, in order to make Krishna famous, we as his followers must make Prabhupada famous. Utilize the science and technology. And who would not marvel at his service? Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes that a devotee's greatness is seen in how many others he makes Krishna conscious. So a devotee's like a touchstone like that. So, in conclusion, we're all part of a very historic movement. Difficult for us to maybe appreciate or understand that now, because we're in this little center. Not in San Jose. We're in Mountain View. I caught that. We're in Mountain View. We may not see So it's like a soldier's on a battlefield and he's fighting in one little tiny place. He can't see the whole picture of the whole battlefield. That's why in olden days, when there were battles throughout Europe, they would always choose, the opposing sides would choose a flat plain where the battle could take place, but there would have to be some hills, a hilly area. They didn't just fight. It wasn't they just came together and fought. It was all planned out weeks or months in advance. They would agree where to fight. And they would pick an area where there were some high regions so the generals could sit on top on their horses and direct the troops or lieutenants down below. They could see. So we're like the foot soldiers, you know, we're going out there and doing book distribution, doing festivals and Namhada and things. So we may not see the whole picture. Neither can a soldier understand the implications of winning or losing a battle. Some battles have actually changed history. When the Muslims, with all due respect, were coming into Europe, there was a Polish general who actually came down with the Polish troops, united with the Hungarians, and stopped the Muslim invasion into Europe. I think it was in the 1700s or something. He's given credit. One battle decided the fate of, you know, Europe for hundreds and hundreds of years to come. So we may not be able to see how powerful this movement is and what historic implications it has, how it will change the course of the world. One time in London, I heard Prabhupada say in his room, he said, if only 1% of the world became Krishna conscious, everything would change. And as I've said many times, Prabhupada also told Gurudas that this movement, this Hare Krishna, the scholars will note one day how this Hare Krishna movement saved the world in its darkest hour. So we're fortunate, we're privileged, we're blessed to be serving in this movement. Everyone has a different service. That's what makes up some, the complete success of this movement. Some are cooks, some are drivers, some are managers, some are Sankirtan devotees, some are spiritual masters. It's all seva to Prabhupada. My godbrother Burijan, he wrote a book called My Glorious Master. And by serving Srila Prabhupada, we become the glorious servants. And that's as high as we want to go. We're eternally Jivira Supoya Nityara Krishna Das. We're all eternal servants of the Lord. We don't want to become more than that. We can't become more than that. We don't want to become more than that. We're very happy to be the servant. The glorious servant of the glorious master. One time Prabhupada was walking on the beach, you remember, and there's the dogs. They're scruffy, dirty dogs and fighting over scraps of food. And then some elite, wealthy Bombay businessman came out with this big, fat, fluffy, white Western dog on a leash. This was some years ago. It was really a surprise. Even today you see it like, you're kidding me. You know, you Mumbai, you see them walking three or four dogs. Like, really? So Prabhupada pointed to the scraggly dogs, and he pointed to the white dog, and he said, what's the difference? And the devotees, you know, well, I don't know. Prabhupada said, no, they're all scraggly, unhappy, skinny dogs because they don't have a master. And this dog over here, he's on the leash. He's all big and fat and fluffy because he has a master. So we're the servants. We don't want to be the master. We don't want to be God. We don't want to become the sugar. We want to taste the sugar. So, and because of our benevolent master, we have so much, just like the verse you chanted after the Guru Puja. We have so much. Sometimes we get into this frame of mind where we lament what we don't have. Better we sit down and meditate on what we do have. And what do we have? I bow down to the beautiful lotus feet of my spiritual master, by whose mercy I have obtained the supreme holy name. I mean, if nothing else, everything comes, the holy name, the divine mantra, Gayatri, the service of the son of Satyamata on El Camino Street, distributing books, the association of Srila Swarup Damodar Goswami, Rupa Goswami, his elder brother Swarup Goswami, Giriraj Swami, Vaisheshika Prabhu, Maharaj, the supreme abode of Mathura, the blissful abode of Vrindavan, the divine Radha Kund and Govardhan Hill, and the desire within my heart for the loving service of Sri Sri Radharasikarai. We can never repay our spiritual master for these gifts. Right? Even one of them is priceless. I often say my beads here. Prabhupada didn't chant on these beads, but he touched them. You know those cheap little beads you get in Loy Bazaar? The white ones? These were little white ones. And now they're dark amber color, and they're shiny like glass. Right? Why? Because I polish them every day? No. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. You see? This is my most valuable possession. I often tell the devotees, before I die, I want to be Babaji. I don't want to have anything, nothing. Don't want to take any risks that, you know, like I'll be attached to something when I die. I want to give away everything I have and just sit in a room in Mayapur, Vrindavan with a loincloth and my mala. I don't think that will happen. Shivaram said, you're not going to do that. We're not going to let you do that. You'll probably die on, you know, somewhere in Mongolia, you know, during kirtan or something. But this is my most valuable possession. And if you offered me $1 million, I wouldn't give. Try. Because if you try, that means you've got $1 million, you're willing to give it away. You give it to Vaisheshika. Prabhu. So although we can't pay the debt back, and we have a big debt, we have to try. And, I was thinking that if I was a new devotee, at this point in history, I couldn't think of a better temple to join than this temple. And although I'm here with my disciples, you're my disciples, and that, but if I was a new devotee, I couldn't think of a better spiritual master to take initiation from than Vaisheshika Prabhu. Yeah. And I just want to say something very personal to you, Vaish, that there was a point, there was a time a few years ago where devotees were encouraging you to take sannyas. Remember when we were discussing that? You know, you should take sannyas. And you weren't, you know, you were hesitant because, well, you were so engaged and so forth and so on, and, you know, the glory would be there or whatever. But thank the Lord you didn't, because, you know, you and your wife, you know, that team is as good as any 10 sannyasis preaching. We were doing initiation together down at the Sadhusanga retreat in North Carolina, myself, Sachin Swami, Vaishnava. But when I was, you know, me and Sachin were taking our beads and giving the name. And I looked over and, you know, Vaishnava's sitting there and Mother Nirukula, she's there right next to him. And she's got all the names on the paper, you know, she's got the beads, you know. She's reminding him who's coming up, what he's going to say. And he has a little card he reads, you know. She hands him the card. I think this is the perfect combination of husband and wife working together so nicely. So once again, thank you to everyone present today. Thank you for giving me raising the bar and giving me something to try to achieve, you know, to become a better disciple of my spiritual master. And as one offers all the results of one's service to one's spiritual master, I offer all of you, my disciples, the lotus feet of Śrīla Prabhupāda, and this assures you're going back home, back to Godhead. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Śrīla Prabhupāda ki Ram Mohan Ji Ki, Bhagwan Singh Dev Ki, Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Ki, Kuk Prem Dan Hari Nam Sankirtan Yagya Ki, Kuk Premanande.